Traditional music of Japan, performed by vocalist musician Madi Sato, who is here to tell us about not only sacred music, but the upcoming Santa Fe Women's Sacred World Music Choir. Welcome to the Radio Cafe.
Hi, ohayou gozaimasu. Arigatou gozaimasu. Thank you for having me. Yeah, I'm happy to be here today. I've got a couple of things coming up that are very exciting to announce to Santa Fe community. And I've been traveling around the last 7 years back to my homeland of Japan and studying the traditional music there and been on a very kind of focused, disciplined spiritual journey through going back to my roots of Japan.
So, sacred music. I've always wondered, what makes sacred music sacred?
I think anything that is with an intention from the heart for prayerful reasons and also healing is considered sacred music. Especially music that is connected to lineage that comes from an ancient place. Most music that I have studied and worked with that comes from, we're talking 1,000 years ago, had its roots in devotional, prayerful aspects of music. So I think ancient, traditional music from anywhere on the planet, you could probably call that sacred.
So yeah. In the piece we were just listening to, tell us about it.
Yeah, the piece that I recorded there is known as Shigin. It's a traditional Japanese art form, dates back 2,000 years ago. And it's traditional Japanese poetry written by historical figures of Japan, done in a chant melody. And it's not really performed much anymore, except for the grandmas and the grandpas. And it's very deep ancient music with even a very ancient language that's not used as much anymore.
What does it mean?
It's talking about the revered mountain called Fuji-san, and it's that big, tall, snow-capped mountain that you see when you're riding the train across Japan. And it says that Mount Fuji is beautiful in a silvery mist, and the divine dragon has dwelled for thousands of years at the base of Fuji. The people come to pray for the divine dragon to return, and the top of Fuji is like an inverted fan against an eastern blue sky.
So in that spirituality, there's a lot of connection to nature, to mountains.
That's right, yeah. Another thing that I practice is Shinto chanting, and that is also dates back to around the time when Shigin was coming up. And Shinto spirituality is the indigenous and national if you call it a religion, of Japan, and it's nature-based and very much similar to Native American spirituality.
And then there is that cultural aspect in the image of the inverted fan.
Yeah, yeah.
So this, whether you're listening to it and you know what it means or not, it also just in the form of the music and the drumming and in all of it, in the chanting, has some power even for people who are not part of that culture.
Oh yeah, Since I've been singing this music the past 7 years in different settings around the world, people respond from a very emotional, deep level with tears coming up. And I don't understand this music, but it just speaks to my soul, and I just feel like it opens my heart in the hugest way. So, yeah, it's that ancient language. There's a understanding of the harmonics of nature, and by the chanting of these sacred syllables, you feel a connection to the oneness here on the planet. And I think that's what people are really sensing when they listen to this kind of music.
When you teach this course in women's sacred world music, this choir that you're putting together, is drumming also part of it?
That's my plan, is to bring in some traditional drumming, yes, down the line. But we're going to begin with the voice. And this choir is going to be quite unique, as far as people think of a choir and they think of, oh, they're going to learn their part from a piece of music that's written. But the way I have learned sacred traditional music from Japan is that it's an oral tradition, and it's done in a call and response fashion. And you know, sacred music way back then was learned so that it was memorized, so that it became learning from the heart instead of through the mind. So we're going to approach it that way and really work with things like sacred text and mantras and sacred melodies that come from India.
So it's not just limited to music of Japan.
That's right. Yeah, we're going to go from Japan to Tibet. I've been involved with a Tibetan spiritual singer named Yangjin Lamu for the past 4 years, and so we incorporate Tibetan music. We also are going to bring in Lithuanian traditional music, and I just returned from a trip to the Baltic nations, where I went on a cultural exchange with the Santa Fe Indian School poetry team, the spoken word team that was led by Timothy McLaughlin. And I went there as kind of a chaperone, but also their song coach. I helped them to the three Navajo students and one Tana Autumn Nation student to arrange their songs so that they could present them in the Baltic nations. And I learned about the rich song traditions there and how those people gained their independence from the Soviet regime by singing, coming together collectively and singing. So their music is so rich, and there were several singers there that I met, and they shared the way of the chant, the meditative music there, and so I'm going to work in some of that with the choir.
You have an example of that you've brought. Shall we play a little bit of it?
Sure. Yeah, it's called It's You. It's a song that I just wrote the past five months ago, and I incorporate some Lithuanian chant at the end of the song.
So maybe we'll listen to at least that part of the song.
Yes.
Okay, here we go. We're talking to Madi Sato about sacred music.
Dio takanare, 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 D takalani Dio, 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 takalani Dio.
Music of Madi Sato. Now, what does it mean for you to incorporate something like Lithuanian chant, which is maybe not your native culture, into your own songwriting?
Well, I've found on my journey of doing sacred music that I can be a bridge from the traditional sacred music from almost anywhere with a way of humble respect for lineage and taking these songs and working my songwriting kind of around them. The song that you just heard, It's You, was inspired at the mountain. And the traditional chant from Lithuania says, "Oh, sacred mountain, Diu takalnali, Diu takalnali." So I connected them in that way. And I've been doing that with my Japanese chanting and folk songs as well, just weaving them into some of my songs. When I find a tiny connection, whether it be, you know, inspired, I wrote the song at the mountain, or it's a song of someone longing, I will look for songs in other cultures and weave them in.
It seems like there's sacred mountains everywhere that there's mountains.
That's right, yes.
How did the Indian students respond to being in Lithuania and beholding that whole new cultural experience?
Wow, I think it profoundly transformed them. They're all young, teenage age, 15 to 21 was the age range, and upon returning and their reflection of their journey there, they, you know, the Baltic nations, from Estonia to Latvia to Lithuania, has a strong sense of cultural identity and keeping their traditional ways. And so when the native students saw that kind of pride in their cultural traditional ways, I think it inspired them to even go deeper into their own traditions and have an appreciation for it. And they talked about wanting to go speak with their grandmothers and grandfathers and learn more and more and really hold that sacred to them, like they saw with the youth in we had some amazing experiences in Lithuania with a folk music group there, all youth that are singing the traditional songs and doing the dances, and it was just so beautifully done from a place of real identity that it was very inspiring for them. Yeah.
I think another thing that's inspiring, in addition to the music itself, is the fact that people are singing together. It's not some kind of isolated iPod culture or even a nightclub culture, which in some cases can be unified, but sometimes not.
It was incredible. There was a show, the first show we did, where at the end there was opening for question and answer, and a girl stood up and said, "We'd like to share a song with you." And she just started singing, and then the whole entire audience joined in. It's like they can all sing because they've just been doing it and kept it up. They hold the largest collection of folk songs I hear in the world. They're recorded. And they're really holding them sacred. Yeah, but it's very powerful to sing in a group setting with an intention, you know, of raising, you know, consciousness to making change, positive change. It's the most powerful thing. Yeah.
You've also traveled to Australia, also studying sacred music?
Well, I ended up meeting Aboriginal elders from the Spinifex tribe on that trip, and didgeridoo players, Japanese didgeridoo players of all things, actually.
In Australia. Japanese didgeridoo players.
Yeah, and I sang in a world music festival while I was there, but the primary purpose of that trip was to go there and kind of become a new mother. I had just had my child, and I really just took my time to enjoy the nature of Australia, meeting some Aboriginal people, writing some songs while I was there, and it's beautiful, very ancient land. Yeah.
Now you are going to be leading this Santa Fe Women's Sacred World Music Choir, and so all sorts of things, Afro-Brazilian invocations, Celtic music, American gospel hymns, medieval, modern, all sorts of things. What kind of experience are you looking for in people who join you in this project?
A collective experience. We are going to focus on the things like breath, tone, in community. That those are my three main focuses for this group. And so what I'm expecting is for these women to be willing to participate in creating the sacred community choir. We're gonna have, you know, I call it points of entry with sacred text or mantra, and then I'm gonna invite the women to create spontaneous composition through listening, call and response, listening, and working with the natural harmony of nature, harmonics that are in nature, like the perfect fifth,
right,
that kind of thing. Yeah.
How many people are you looking for in this group?
30.
30.
Yeah.
Do they have to be able to, for example, sing in tune? Is there an audition?
Not necessarily. And then many people who think they don't sing in tune actually do when they relax enough. So I can help people to find the proper tuning and to learn how to rest into their breath. And I don't think that's going to be a problem at all. If anybody, especially those people who are a little bit nervous of singing, but they have this driving desire to sing, should show up for this.
And this starts on
February 25th, there will be Thursday nights. The choir is from 5 to 6:30, and then I will offer another class from 7 to 8:30 on the same nights, called The Sound Journeys, Discovery of the Authentic Voice, and it's a vocal meditation practice, and we'll be using sacred music from around the world and working with tuning and breathing and chanting. And those two classes will be held at the Center for Spiritual Living on Camino de las Marques.
And to register, people can call 505-660-2526. Mari Sato is a vocalist, musician, and teacher, and Santa Fe Women's Sacred World Music Choir starts in about a week. They can also go to madisato.com, M-A-D-I-S-A-T-O. Madi, thank you so much for
thank
being with
you.
Us and sharing your music.
Thank you so much.
You've been listening to the Santa Fe Radio Cafe. My name is Mary Charlotte. We're streaming live at ksfr.org, podcasting at santafe.radiocafe.org. Thanks to Santa Fe's .foil computer services. You can subscribe to the show on iTunes, and you can find us at facebook.com/radiocafe. My email is radiocafe@ksfr.org. Stay tuned for the BBC, followed by local news by KSFR's award-winning news team, and after that, Good Morning Jazz. Tomorrow, all sorts of good stuff. Robert Knott will be with us. Linda Siegel will be with us. It's Animal Friday with Bill Hutcherson, and we'll be hearing about a wonderful play called Love Letters, just in time for Valentine's Day. Broadcasting from the Santa Fe Baking Company, my name is Mary Charlotte. Hasta la vista.